Thank you for listening to Alt Latino. NPR's new politics podcast is where our political reporters talk to you like they talk to each other. They have weekly roundups, short takes on the news, and reporting from every stop on the campaign trail, so you don't have to keep up with politics to know what's going on. Listen and subscribe at npr.org/podcast and on the NPR One app.
La 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 la. See.
From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras.
And I'm Jasmine Garst. Happy 2016.
Yay.
Looking forward to another year filled with great music and good conversation. Felix, I thought that was you tapping on the table. Felix has a habit of doing percussion on the table. It drives people in the office insane. But it's not you.
It is not me. It is the music that we're listening to right now. We're going to talk Cuba today. And we're going to talk with our colleague Anastasia Siulcas, who is music reporter and producer for NPR Music and does the Latitude blog. Anastasia, welcome.
Hey, guys. It's so great to be here.
And you recently got back from a trip to Cuba, right?
I did. I spent a week in Havana, and it was just wall-to-wall music, 24/7.
Okay, we're going to hear more about the trip in this show and talk about Cuban music of all kinds. But what are we starting out the show with?
We're actually starting with a group from Havana called Rumba Morena, and it's a mostly female group, and they, as you can hear, bring this incredibly soulful, powerful Afro-Cuban religious tradition, cultural tradition, rhythmic tradition, singing tradition to bear in their music, and it's just incredible.
amazing example of folkloric Afro-Cuban rumba from Havana, directly from Havana.
So why did you go to Cuba? I mean, why not? I want to go again, but...
do you have to have a compelling reason to just go?
But why now?
So what happened was I was invited to go along with a group of 10 American composers and a group of musicians who were invited by a festival there, the Havana Contemporary Music Festival.
What type of composers?
Classical, contemporary. Classical, and that means a gazillion things. We could have a whole show on just that. What does that mean? But essentially it means composers working today who are roughly working within traditional classical music instruments, but also tons of electronics and experimental styles. And they brought, American Composers Forum brought together 10 composers, everything from people who are still students to a Pulitzer Prize winner, lots of women, lots of geographic diversity and cultural diversity. It was great. And so I kind of tagged along.
And classical music isn't probably the first thing on anyone's mind when it comes to Cuban music, but there obviously is a very active scene there.
Yeah, for sure. And when you think of Cuban music, I think at least very much of rhythm and of Afro-Cuban roots. But what I knew was it really sort of... classical music within Cuba, 20th century, still sounded very influenced by dance rhythms, styles, you know, Afro-Cuban roots. And I still think, you know, now that I've heard more of it, I still think that's a huge priority. You know, you hear American music and European contemporary classical, and they're really interested in sort of pushing boundaries, sonic boundaries. Mm. You know, things don't necessarily have to follow melodic narratives, and this was something totally different.
You brought some classical music as an example. What are we going to hear next?
What I brought to you, I think, is a really good example of that. It's music by the contemporary Cuban composer Guido López Gavilán, who actually organized the festival that I went to in Havana, and he's the head of the composers' union there as well. And it's a piece called Camarata en Guaguancó, and it was written for, I believe it was written for this ensemble, which is called the Camarata Romeu, which is an all-female string orchestra that is based in Havana. And I think you'll hear immediately what I'm talking about in terms of dance stuff.
It's a very famous melodic riff in Cuban rumba. Guaguancó is one of the three forms of traditional rumba. They had the bass part playing the boom, 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 boom. And then they had one of the violins. Tick, 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 tick. That's the Afro-Cuban clave, the rhythm, the little rhythm that holds all the parts together. Thank you. That was a very literal translation of the huahuanco.
Yeah.
So that when I say it's a literal translation or a literal reinterpretation, because that's exactly what they're doing, and they lay these beautiful melodies over the strings approximating the drum parts. It was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, it's beautiful and really, I think, very relatable. You know, you can come in not knowing much about either rumba or classical music and find a lot of pleasure in it.
Let's hear one more classical track before we move on to other forms of music.
Why don't we go then to one of the great icons of Cuban classical music, Leo Brouwer, and we'll hear him playing one of his own pieces, A Day in November, Un Día de Noviembre.
Thank you.
it's a good time to remind listeners that this is a historic time in Cuba. It was almost exactly a year ago that President Obama announced his intention to reestablish official relations with Cuba. And most importantly and most significantly, they opened up the American embassy there for the first time in 54 years.
But we should say that the embargo is still in place.
The embargo is still in place for Cubans. If you are an American traveling to Cuba, there's still a lot of complications. You can't take your credit cards, your bank cards, because you can't use them there, you know, just for one point of reference. It's still, you still feel the impact even if you're just traveling there. And certainly, you know, we were encouraged to bring things like paper and batteries and music notes. You know, the ensemble, Romeu, which we heard earlier, one of the violinist bridges snapped right before a concert, and they literally didn't have another bridge.
Which is the part of the violin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's sort of the little wooden part that actually
holds up the strings.
Holds up the string. Yeah, it essentially stretches the strings out. And then, yeah, things like that. So it's every facet of life is very much impacted by the embargo.
I want to go back to one of the pieces that you played earlier that featured the Afro-Cuban rhythm, the guaguancó, because that's the other strain of musical influence in Cuban music, the West African influence. And you and I were talking previously about the influence of Yoruba rhythms from West Africa, which is where a lot of the slave trade came from to this part of the world, how it's still very strong in Cuban music. What did you hear while you were there?
It's omnipresent, so the influence of not just the rhythm and dance, but the religious meaning. You know, I was having lunch one day with my friend, my translator, and off in the distance, we started hearing music from Asia, and her apartment is near where the river meets the ocean in Havana. So she heard this music that was in honor of one of the Afro-Cuban deities, the Orishas, and she sort of she's like, oh, that's the music for Yemaya, and sort of immediately keyed into the whole string of influences and relationships just on this one rhythm she could hear literally blocks away. So it's very omnipresent in people's lives.
And what music did you bring?
Yeah, so I brought music by the Cuban singer Lázaro Ross, and he died in 2005, and he, in his lifetime, really did a lot to nurture Afro-Cuban culture. But Ross made a whole series of recordings pretty late in his life dedicated to specific orishas, specific deities within the pantheon of Afro-Cuban deities. And so this album is called Oya, and so Oya, Oyeo is the music we're about to hear, and it's just, to me, stunning in its simplicity.
Oya, oyeo, imbaloke, iñaleta kwa.
Oya, oyeo. Yahweh mi, Yahweh mi, Yahweh mi, Yahweh mi,
llame San Belli, me San Manu, me San Mepa, ma de cuyo calalago, o ya llegué un olele.
Lázaro Ross was also part of a group called Synthesis in the late 90s that included a lot of electronic instruments, which was really one of the first instances of bringing that tradition into the 20th century.
And this one was made with a group named Olorun. And yeah, it's a completely different track aesthetically and conceptually.
Anastasia, one of the groups that you brought in, I'm very curious to hear because I've heard from other musician friends that these guys are doing something pretty amazing, the group Interactivo.
Yeah. I'd heard along with some friends that this band, Interactivo, did a residency at this basement club in Havana, and that if we wanted to really hear what was going on in Cuban music, we should head over there. So we went and we figured, okay, it's a 12:30 a.m. set on a weeknight. And I've been to late night jazz sets in New York, and it's kind of desolate, to be honest. which is great. That's when the musicians really are playing for each other, I think, more than for the audience necessarily. But this club was jammed. It was jammed wall to wall, could not get to the bar, could not get to the dance floor. And everyone there, I felt, frankly, pretty ancient being there. You know, I think the median age was something like 23. And the whole place was just hopping. And everyone was dancing to every song.
Oye, Francis, mira esa mulata. Qué linda.
Cuando voy por la calle de mi Habana, mi hermosa y descuidada Habana, y veo a la cubana,
si la veo así,
todo tiene sentido para mí, haberme quedado aquí,
en el tanque. Son tan graciosas,
lo son,
son tan hermosas,
lo son,
y te desnudan con la mirada.
Luego te tratan como si nada, como si no fueran ellas las que plantearan la jugada.
¿Qué jugada?
Se te plantean de dos en dos,
te plantean de tres en tres, son toda una resolución. La ley 73,
que no es la 72.
Vengan dos, vengan tres, vengan diez si son cubanas, vengan diez.
Hey, hey, hey. Esas sí son cubanas. Oh.
Vengan dos,
cuido.
Vengan tres, vengan diez si son cubanas.
So Interactivo is a group that is led by a pianist, Robert Carcassis, and it's kind of a moving feast. You know, it seems like a collective that members come and go, and their sound really shifts with the sort of comings and goings of individual musicians. And on the night I happened to hear them, they were drawing really heavily on timba and funk and kind of a late 70s jazz fusion synthesizer sound. But I went back and listened to a lot of their discography that I could get my hands on afterwards, and the music just changes so much from project to project.
Que vengan de Rusia, que vengan de Italia, que vengan de Yuma, sí, de nueva su salsa, que yo cultivo una niña linda en julito como en enero. Lilu, Lilu, ven, 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 mi china, ven, ven.
The Cubans have big ears, man. You know, they hear everything and they incorporate it into whatever it is they're working on. It's always been the case.
Un, dos, tres, y.
In the spirit of including all kinds of references in the music, let's go back to a piece that was recorded a year ago in Havana by an American group led by Arturo Ferro as the Afro-Latin Jazz Ensemble. They were there and like a cultural exchange, and they were including Cuban musicians and American musicians. They were recording an album. Right in the middle of all this, President Obama made his historic announcement. So the album is called The Conversation Continues, and it's infused with this spirit of acknowledging the past that we've been talking about right now and looking toward the future. Thank you.
que me llega al corazón, que preparo una infusión, que me llega al corazón.
In the spirit of self-promotion, we do want to remind listeners that Jazz Night in America is a wonderful program produced by NPR Music, and there is an entire concert by Arturo Ofero and the Afro-Latin Jazz Ensemble. So you can find that at our website at nprmusic.org.
And, you know, I think we have to acknowledge how much that project is sort of a resuming of a dialogue that began decades ago with the Ofero family, right?
Chico Ofero was his father, and he was from Havana, of Irish descent, raised in Havana, and then moved to New York in the 40s. And he brought that Cuban aesthetic that contributed to the late 40s, early 50s boom of what they were calling Cubop or bebop in Cuban music that influenced everything that's going on now. As a way to look forward to 2016 and lots of more great music, let's finish with something from an artist that we've played on Alt Latino, Daime Arocena.
And we featured her on our Best Of list in 2015, Felix, for the song Madres.
The album is called Nueva Era. This is called Cristal. Anastasia, thank you so much for bringing this music in and telling us about your trip.
It was a huge joy. Thank you so much.
Everybody, don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Jasmine Garst.
And I'm Felix Contreras.
This has been Alt Latino.
I believe that you know that I always see you, 'cause you made me feel again, come to me. My heart is a crystal to see. You are my star.